3 Nephi, chapter 21. In this chapter, the Lord continues to, we could say, quote from Isaiah or just repeat his words that he gave through Isaiah. And he repeats again this, the story of the last days. He repeats the whole story again here. Now, this will be the third time he's done that, but that's characteristic of how the Lord speaks to us. He repeats things to give us a new view of it, to help our spirit to hear it clear. This was how Isaiah wrote, was to repeat things. So again, he starts out and he says in the beginning that he will establish a free country, and he'll establish America. That's in by verse 4. And then he says that the power of his word, or the we'll say the Book of Mormon, will come forth to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles will therefore have the power of his word to deliver his word to the people. And so, meaning to his remnant and to the other Gentiles and so forth. But then he says in verse 10 that he talks about his servant doing his work. But notice this is after the Gentiles have received that power. Then he will have the real work that he will be do will be done by his servant. This is not Joseph Smith. This is talking about an event that has occurred after the power has been given to the Gentiles. Again, the present Mormon church would like you to think that this is all talking about today, and that that they still have the power, and they're the ones that are still distributing it, and they're just trying to get other Gentiles to repent. This is not what it's talking about. If we again reference it to the previous verses, it makes it clear in the previous chapters and verses. It makes it clear that that these are not the events. It has not occurred as they have said, meaning that Joseph Smith was not the servant. This is something that occurs after. So we haven't even had the Lord's servant come. And I will repeat, previously in the Book of Mormon, it talks about Joseph Smith receiving the book or the words. But then the people not receiving the words or the written word of the Book of Mormon, therefore he would have to send forth a spokesman or a man who will bring it forth with mighty wonders and by the word of mouth. And again, this is the servant talked about here, and this is something yet to come. And then it says in verse 12 that his remnant or some of the house of Israel will be among the Gentiles. And that they will go through. Now, notice this is after the power of the Gentiles, but they will go through, and they will tread down the Gentiles. And he says that woe be unto the Gentiles unless they repent, for this is what they can expect, to be treaded down by the house of Israel. And again, when he talks like this, you can expect that it implies that the Gentiles as a whole will not repent, the Gentile church will not repent. But again, he is talking that there will be some among them who will join with the house of Israel. And then he says in verse 20, by the way, what he then tells them what to repent of, and he's not just talking to the Mormon church, he's talking to all of the Gentiles in the land. But again, if you read each one of these, you will see that this is a that the Mormon church has joined in with the world in all these things, meaning that more, we look at 17, they worship the works of their own hands, and this is their idols, and this is what's as important to them, and they go along again with the lying and the deceiving of industry and of business, and the envying and the strifes, and they believe in priestcraft, that their leaders receive either power or gain or glory for being the leaders and so forth. And I'm not going to go through this list continually, but it is the same thing. And again, this came into the church after it had, again, previously been given the right under Joseph Smith. But again, if they had received the power, used it correctly, they would have created Zion. And that has been, again, prophesied by the present prophets meaning that it had been told by the present prophet that it had not been established yet. And the Book of Mormon makes it clear that it hasn't. And then in 20, it really makes it clear. It says that whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved son. And again, the church has came unto its own self, came unto its own leaders. but does not teach or does not direct people to come unto the Son, nor does it have people who have came to the Son and have His Spirit, have Him with them, and are able then to direct others to do the same. And that's why it says that there, that He's not interested in a church. He's not interested in you coming unto a church, coming unto leaders. You know, that He's interested in you coming unto the Son of Christ. And then in verses 22, it says that if they will repent, then He will establish His church. Again, the church today is an administrative organization based on the Babylonian administration and organization. It is not based on God, and it has not been established, or it is not ran by God. And when He says establish, He means He will establish and run it, not as today, which is ran by men. Now, again, he then gives you the sign of what will when He establishes it. When He establishes His church, then you will build the city, the New Jerusalem. And there is not any doubt amongst anyone teaching today, we have not established the New Jerusalem. And that is the mark of Him establishing His church among you. So the church has not been established yet. The church of Jesus Christ has not been established. And when it is again, I repeat, it will be established by Him, not by men. And to give you a further light and knowledge, has it been established? Is His kingdom here? Has he established His church and the work began? It says, when that happens, then shall the power of heaven, this is verse 25, then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I will also be in their midst. And that means that you will feel the Spirit of Christ. You will people will talk with Christ. Yes, the power of heaven will be amongst them. We don't have that today. In fact, what we see is most clearly is that the church sends the people out to mingle amongst the Babylon and supports all the Babylonian ways. And then he says, after that, after the New Jerusalem, after the power of heaven is amongst New Jerusalem, after He is with New Jerusalem, then shall the work of the Father commence. And he goes through verses 26 through 28 to make it clear that it is then the work commences. So the point is, the work is not going on now, because we have the true work of God and of Jesus Christ is not going on now, because we have not established the New Jerusalem, as he's clearly stated here. And what does he say that work is? Then they will have the work in verse 28 of gathering home his people to the land of their inheritance. That is the work that will go on. It has not occurred yet, and the church has not been established. The New Jerusalem has not been established yet. And that is something that we should all look forward to. And what do we look? How do we work to have that established? Each one of us individually, as Christ said in his ministry here, turn to Christ individually. It's not what we do to others. It's not what buildings we establish. It's not how big of a church we make. It is how we each individually turn to Christ. And it says that when he then gathers them home, they shall go out from all nations. That means that he will then gather them from everywhere. And he says that they will not go in haste nor by flight, for I will go before them, and it says that I will be their rearward, meaning he will prepare the way, he will prepare a way for them to go, and he will look behind them, and they will be able to move under his full power. And that will be the way. But again, whose power? It's not the power of the combination of political men to open up iron curtains and so forth. It will be through the power of the Lord.